Welcome back to the AI Minds podcast. This is a podcast where we explore the companies of tomorrow built AI first. I am your host, Dimitri Yos, and this episode, like every other episode, is brought to you by DeepGram, the number one text-to-speech and speech-to-text API on the internet today, trusted by the world's top conversational AI leaders, startups, and enterprises like Spotify, Twilio, NASA, and Citibank. We are joined today by my man, Richard, the co-founder and CEO of Row AI, an unstructured data analytics platform. How you doing, Richard?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Dimitrios.
So you grew up in China. You came to the U.S. when you started doing your undergrad at UC Berkeley, but your dad was an entrepreneur himself. What did you take away? I understand that he was always dealing with Americans when he was doing business. So you learned business at a young age and osmosis. What were some of the things that you were learning?
So he started trading. He owns a trading company. He started trading with the metal parts, the iron steels with Americans since 1995. Back then, internet was just become a thing. E-commerce would just become a thing, right? So all he was doing is sitting in front of his computer and start sending outbound emails. Probably, I think at that time, outbound email effective rate is like 100 times more than this is today. But what I learned from him is that spirit of being a startup founder, going from scratch, from zero to one, that spirit really encourages me.
He had that hustle. And yes, it probably helped that, yeah, sending outbound emails was like shooting fish out of a barrel. So you were at UC Berkeley, you graduated, you went on to work at LinkedIn as your first job, working on recommender systems for the recruiting services. And as I understand it, you grew in your job there, but you felt like it wasn't enough. What made you want to transition out and go start a new adventure?
So I had a great time at LinkedIn, and it's my first job after I graduated. And I honestly learned a ton from the people around me. Especially at a later point, the people around me at LinkedIn all become entrepreneurs themselves. So that gives me an impulse, like a really strong impulse for going out of the world, going out on an outer world. I know I'm very comfortable at LinkedIn and I'm doing my best. And I believe I'll be even going higher if I stay at LinkedIn. But I think it's just that impulse of change that makes me to, you know, go into some other places, maybe a faster moving place, and try out something more adventurous, right? That makes me push to go join Snowflake, and which is one of the most fast growing, data warehouse company in the world.
Is it? So there's a fun story about you at Snowflake, and something you created in a hackathon turned into an excuse for you to go and talk with 30 VPs. Give me that story.
I joined Snowflake in 2022, October. And by the time I joined, it was probably at the dawn of ChatGPT coming out. You know, one weekend, I always remember it was a winter, cold winter in Bay Area, right? I did not do anything, but I was just, one idea came to my mind is why not we build something, some ChatGPT for Snowflake? And that was, I think it was December 2022. So I built it in a weekend. I thought I should, not be the only one who can use it. So I presented to my skip manager. She really liked it. I think she gave me that first burning fuel into what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And she encouraged me to keep pushing it and even referred me to her boss. So after a couple of weeks, do some tweaks to my little prototype, present to her boss. Turns out he really liked it as well, right? And he referred me to his boss as well. And that is the SVP of Snowflake, SVP engineer of Snowflake. So we organized a big meeting. I was probably like, 20, 30 people sitting in a room. And I was sitting at the edge of that short edge of that long table, giving a presentation. And that, I remember that was the first time that I got a stomach pain after I delivered the speech. That was so nerve. That was a nerve pain because I was so nervous. And all I remember was that people start to discussing after, before the like 10 minutes or like 5 minutes before my demo finishes. I can tell how people are excited about it. And later that demo turned into a very actionable sprints all the way to like from February all the way to the Snowflake Summit in 2023 in June in Las Vegas. So we crushed that 4 month, bringing multiple teams together within Snowflake, including Streamlit, including native app, and including our partners like Cybersyn, which did it, produce high quality data, even LandChain to build some help, build some part of the ecosystem. And we kind of delivered a massive talk in June and show the world, like, how can you integrate the general AI within your Snowflake data warehouse? That was a big blast.
So that I'm clear. And for everybody else, let me see if I understand correctly, because Snowflake is a data warehouse. So you put in structured data or you put in Excel spreadsheets with a lot of numbers and columns and rows and all that fun stuff. So it's structured. And what you created in this weekend is the ability to talk to it in natural language. So you no longer need to use this programming language, which is probably SQL, I would imagine. Some people might use Python. Can you use Python? Yeah. So the idea is that you no longer need to worry about any of that. If you don't know how to program in SQL, you're all good. Just say what you want from the data warehouse, and Snowflake is going to be able to now understand that and retrieve it for you. Is that what you hacked together?
That's exactly right. Correct. Yeah. What I hacked together was exactly that. But, also, it's like a command. It's like a natural language as a command line for Snowflake. It could write the SQL query, execute the SQL query, retrieve the data together, retrieve the data back. And not only that, you can also tell Snowflake to create a like worksheet, create a new dashboard. So that was kind of the just use natural language on everything kind of hackathon I did.
Ah, I see. So there was actions that you could take. It wasn't just, hey, give me this data or how many sales have we made? It was, all right, I want to know how many sales we made. And now I want to know, let's put all these sales of the different branches of our company into a new database or a new worksheet or whatever it may be, so that I can get a better idea of sales across the organization or whatever your use case is. You no longer needed the SQL mastery. And sometimes people have to lean on their data teams in order to get that information. Or if they want dashboards or if they want to update things, they have to ask a data engineer or a data analyst. And you were able to help empower the non-technical users to get in there and get their hands dirty with the data. On the technical level, it was just the ChatGPT call. Was that what you were doing there? And then integrate a lot of integrations with Snowflake? So when you would, and probably a lot of regex in case something
stuff
hard-coded.
I think you're spot on, Dimitrios. Here, remember that was like late 2022. We only have GPT-3, right?
Yes.
We don't have a JSON rigid output.
Yeah, no.
The LandChain ecosystem is not, it's not even built that built yet. We don't have Streamlit as an interface to talk, right? So I got to build all those components together into. I remember that was I used GCPs. As a backend, essentially, I literally hosted in on a little Firebase a database and Firebase front end. So that was fun. So I put together the chat interface. I do leveraged a little bit of a React kind of agent paradigm in LangChain back then. It was very early for them as well. So need to do a lot of regex, of course, to make sure the output is programmable by the computer. But yeah, that was all it takes.
And you gave this talk at the Snowflake Summit, which has tens of thousands of people. You said your stomach hurt when you were presenting for the VPs. Was your stomach hurting again when you gave the talk in front of all those people?
My hands get cold. I don't think I got another stomach pain. yeah, my adrenaline was so high at that moment when I start like literally, you know, start, well, before I start presenting, get onto the podium. I remember there was a guy, I forgot his name, but he was like holding my fist. That was the first time I heard, his fist is so warm. And that gives me a sense of calm. Like about like 10 seconds before I go to the podium. Hold my fist for like 5 seconds and close your eyes. Deep breath. And here you go. Yeah. And welcome to the podium. I see the big counter where audience could not see it. That is going to start counting down from like 10 or 15 minutes. And I started it's a live like programming session as well. So I have to talk while I program.
You are brave to try and live demo in front of all those people. That is incredible. So now you could have been great there. The Snowflake decided to invest a lot of money into Gen AI. It seems like you were really leading the organization to help them think about it differently. Why didn't you just stay?
I think, you know, Snowflake is probably for everyone, is probably one of the best places to innovate if you want, especially if you want to build general AI. And I think it'll keep being so for the next 5 years, at least 5 to 10 years. And we buy a lot of GPUs. We buy we hired the best team in the world, including the team from Neva and DeepSpeed, which has arguably one of the best researchers on the AI domain.
Yeah.
So I think, and if I stay there, you know, I believe I'll keep pushing it, just how I did at LinkedIn. But I think the reason I came out is that the seed of building a startup has always embedded in my chest. And I think what ends up pushing me is I saw an even bigger future for the unstructured data. So as many data practitioners know, Snowflake, or in general data warehouse, data lake houses, including Databricks, are mostly a place for the structured data. Right? We talk about Delta Lake, we talk about Iceberg, Parquet files all the time, but at the end they are just like more fancy CSV files with more time travel and more compressions, right? But if we're talking about unstructured data, what does it mean to people, right? Like human, as human, we process unstructured data all the time. We process like 74 gigabytes of unstructured data according to a report. Those are the information processed through our eyes and through our noses and ears. But computer could not process them because computer processed one and zero at its best. But LLM transformer-based model came out. All of the data in front of him is just like tokens, including a picture. It's a token. It's one and a zero for the transformer models. And see, I see a bright future where data teams can now have that extended like eyes and ears, just like human, and they can process all kinds of unstructured data that they were not able to in the last decades. Then I decided to do something. Well, I guess do something to get skin in the game is at least do it full time. We applied Y Combinator together with my good friend in UC Berkeley, Jason, and we got in, fortunately. So that becomes the last pull out of the company. You know, we decided to quit our job full time, cut that golden handcuff, and start something new.
it's incredible because I'm sure they were enticing you with all these great teams, all these GPUs, all this freedom to do whatever you needed to do, and you still had the conviction to say, I got to go and try this on my own. And so now that gives me a clear picture of what the inspiration was, but what is the pain that you're trying to solve with the new product?
If I were to talk about one thing, it was about the simplicity of processing unstructured data. And I think I've talked to one of the best data engineering voices in the field, right? I asked him, like, what do you think is the best, like, is the, what do you think is the reason where, you know, data people don't process unstructured data? And what is the future you see? And I think he is seeing the similar thing that I do, which is there's simply no easy way for them to process, even in the general AI, right? If you go into a data analyst and ask them, like, you know, write your own prompt, grab your data from S3 bucket, and you don't, he or she does not even know where the data are, right? The S3 data on structure are so far from what they can reach. And the current data stack is not optimized for the unstructured data. For example, you could not even visualize the data in the any data warehouse data, like house product today. You cannot see a video. If you cannot see the video, then you cannot trust what you get from the LM. And all of the data processing we're doing today, it still needs some manual wiring. Getting data from S3 bucket, shovel it into a large vision model, do some post-processing, convert it into some newer like metadata and putting it to a new, upload it into my ETL into my data warehouse. There's a long chain of data processing. So, and I try to, our vision is we want to bring the extreme simplicity as how Snowflake solved it, like try to solve it in 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Data analyst does not need to learn about anything about you know, how they're like how their unstructured data is stored, how do they pull out from the bucket, how do you scale it. All they need to do is come in to Roy AI and start writing SQL queries to query and transform their unstructured data with AI models in SQL.
And do you see it being something, because I find this question or what you said fascinating, where the data is so far away from folks when it's in an S3 bucket, and an S3 bucket is basically like a catch-all. So data comes in from all these different sources that you have at your company. It could be internal data or in things that maybe like HR is generating, or it could be external data, it could be website data like click events, could be contracts, whatever it may be, it can get thrown all into S3. And this is a catch-all. It can be training videos too, if we're talking about all of the different ways that you can get unstructured data. Could also be podcasts like this one. There's many different ways that you can get that. And a data analyst, usually when they're touching data, they'll get the data and it'll be filtered through a few different steps, like you mentioned. And it will usually go through, it will come out of this S3 bucket or the catch-all where all the data lives and it just sits there. And you don't pull all of the data, you just pull the relevant data or what you hope is the relevant data. And then you pull it into some kind of a database that's optimized, ideally, for your use case. Is that how you see yourself living and coexisting with S3? So it's, all right, we are optimizing, but it doesn't mean that everything's going to us directly. You're still going to have that S3. It's just going to be a lot easier for us to integrate with this big bucket of data and get you what you need. So at the end of the day, you're helping these data people live closer to the data and be more intimate with it.
Exactly. I think Dimitrios, who are capturing, the way we do it is like, you can imagine like Row is like an S3 plugin, essentially. It's a Chrome, like a Chrome plugin, right? You could immediately, once you connect it to us to S3, right, you can immediately get an interface where you can start processing those data, raw data from S3 into something that you can quantitatively analyze. And not only S3, right? That extends to all of the bucket storages, including Snowflake internal staging. We're going to be a Snowflake native app as well. So that taps directly into Snowflake's internal staging, which is also another S3, essentially, within Snowflake. Or Databricks Volume. Those are all the places that we can tap into that we can be an OS system, operating system on top of those data. Beyond that, you mentioned about public internet. For a lot of companies, right, internet has a very cute attribute, which is it's always refreshing. So we see companies don't always kind of persist those internet data, because by the time you analyze it, it's probably like stale. So what we have, we also have a crawler that allows people to crawl the web pages live into an image or into a long, like into HTML, and then that can be further like processed with the LLM as data processors, and they don't need to build a crawler themselves in a side hustle. They can just like do it on Row with SQL.
That's super cool. So now the idea is what the end state that you're going for, and really what you're trying to do is empower those data analysts and data engineers to better work with the data.
That's right.
And what are some use cases you've been seeing?
Yeah, so talking about the web pages, one use case is competitor analysis, or simply merchant KYC. For example, if a company wants to serve better for their clients, one of the best information sources is their landing pages, right? What they're selling, how they're selling it, and so that the company can better curate different features for their client. And if you flipped around, right, you can also look at your competitors' landing pages, see what are they selling, right? Do they have any promotional events? When it comes down to the enterprise operational data, like gong calls, right? Like Slack messages or meeting transcripts, like what are doing, right? We're seeing a pain point where the default summarization tool is not enough, essentially, from gong calls or from like, I use Read.ai. We want to do it in a customized way, right? Because as a CEO, for example, I do a lot of prospects calls. As a CTO, my CTO Jason, he does a lot of engineering calls. We care about different things. But today, how we're solving it is like we just import all of those meeting transcripts data into our own data tool and start use different LLMs to process, extract different insights from those transcripts at scale. So I care about the top pain point, the willingness to pay. My CTO cares about the blockers for why you're going to need another week for a certain feature. So we can extract different things from this different insights in our ERP.
Incredible. Well, man, I'm very excited about what you're doing. I appreciate you coming on here and chatting with me about this. And I'm going to go and play around with Row AI. It sounds like it is a really cool tool.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, Dimitrios. You're asking great questions.